Hey there, thank you for tuning into the How Tech Podcast. My name is Enrique and I am your host. I just wanted to let you know that this is part two of this particular episode. There is a part one already online, so go ahead and tune into that one first before continuing over here. That said, please enjoy.
This one's a little bit political, but, but let's do it, okay? So I'm going to play another video for you guys.
Does that have to do with cars?
It does, yes, I promise.
And technology?
Both of those things, yes.
Okay, we're good then, right?
Yes, yes, we're good.
You see this a lot. A suspected drunk driver, carnage, debris.
There's so many families across New Mexico that have been hurt by drunk driving.
New Mexico Senator Ben Ray Lujan is sponsoring legislation in Washington that he thinks will help prevent drunk driving crashes, technology in new cars.
If you think about the technology that's in cars today, Nancy, there's some vehicles that will already slow down if they're coming up on another car too quickly, and some of them even have flashing red lights inside of them.
Lujan says right now 200 different types of technology already exist that could help avoid a crash or even get a drunk driver off the road. Some cars already let you know when you're leaving your lane and you shouldn't be, or if you're dozing off. Now he says the RIDE Act would require technology like that in all new cars.
It requires the Department of Transportation under the National Highway Institute with those leaders there to identify technologies that are available and to require auto manufacturers to include them with new build out once they certify the technology works.
The RIDE Act passed the Commerce Committee Wednesday. It's sponsored by both Republicans and Democrats and could go before the entire Senate in a matter of weeks.
I asked the senator if this passes, does he think it would raise the price of new cars? He said no. Nancy Loughlin, KOAT Action 7 News.
A New Mexico. This is obviously, this is
so much to say.
I know you do. Like I know you do.
I just came to New Mexico on a vacation like 4 or 5 weeks ago.
So this is a new bill that's sponsored by a New Mexico senator, right? Which would require all new cars to be able to sense when drivers are driving under the influence. That's one of the things.
No, that's stupid.
And and
it's a
joke,
man.
So my first note that I have here, this has lobbyists written all over it. So tell me if you guys, so Alberto, please please open remarks.
Well, I'm going to be as truthful as could be here, and you guys feel free if you want to, because we have a long past. But I'm going to speak from experience here. Have I driven a car in my past? Go ahead, don't cancel me later. When I should not have, maybe having too much to drink. Yes, I have. Could I have killed someone? Absolutely, I could have. In my past, I'm not even going to say what year or whatnot. I'm not ashamed of it. This senator probably has too. Who knows? No one here is perfect, right? And speaking from that experience alone, I know it has nothing to do with the vehicle. It has nothing to do with the car itself. It's either you, the society, the state. There's so many other different factors involved. That being said, and I'll keep this short, I just came from New Mexico a couple weeks ago. And what dawned on me is the following. Everywhere you go in New Mexico, you have all these anti-drug, anti-alcohol signs. Like, if you need help, let us know. Like, every other commercial was like, about alcoholics, you know, need help, let us know. Like, there's obviously a lot of alcoholics in New Mexico or something. Every ad, like highway ads, you know, have an alcohol problem, call this number. There's like advertising. I swear to God, it's almost like buying a car. You know, it's like it was that obvious, you know. And, you know, when you go to a different state and on vacation, like, you notice these things. Like, you go in the hotel and you see all this stuff. So maybe the problem is not the cars. I don't know. I'll keep it short, but
my favorite part of this report was we asked the senator if this would raise the price of new cars. He said no.
He asked the wrong person.
He said no.
Ask the manufacturers. Go to a dealer. Ask them.
They're trying to solve the problem everywhere else except the source.
But they're also talking. They're talking about a topic. I mean, no disrespect to reporting and news, is that they sometimes get into these topics. They just need to report. They don't spend hours, weeks, days learning about everything before they report.
No,
she's
and that's
just reporting. She
that's
just
fine. Listen,
learned something,
no,
fitting up, and like, okay.
I don't blame her. I don't blame her. It's just, just the like they're doing their job. They're doing the news. They're reporting. Jay, please, give your
go for it, Jay.
Your opinions,
He's
remarks
about to
on
destroy
this.
The whole state, probably.
So, when I talk about things, you know, context is really critical.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Context is really critical. Where this story comes from, New Mexico, I was fortunate, which I'm going to use the words with a lot of salt. I was stuck there in the Air Force for more than 3 years. That is its own world, New Mexico. I think, I want to say last I checked, they were third worst as far as education. It is a different planet. They do have issues with drugs and alcohol there that are as bad, if not worse, than a lot of places in America. They have some of the best people. I'll give them that. Some of the best people.
Yep.
But as a population in that region of America, alcohol and drugs are a huge issue in all levels of the community. It's just a thing, right? Just like it can be anywhere. I can understand as a politician wanting to solve a problem for your people, you would think, well, I can. That's an avenue I can take. I understand that. Qualifying it from the perspective of what they're trying to do, I don't really know what level of automation they're talking about. If they're talking about,
so I have that actually
technology.
Pulled up here.
Okay.
So let me break it down.
Yeah,
so
can you read it? Can you read it?
Sure. Quote: "It requires the Department of Transportation and the National Highway Institute, with those leaders there, to identify technologies that are available and to require manufacturers to include them to build out." Once they certify the technology works, this doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make sense at all.
It's vaguely passing the buck.
Wow.
Here's the thing. Like, yeah. I wrote this down.
Go ahead.
Here's the thing. As much as I seem like I'm against the idea, we're sidestepping the fact that Attention Assist, it's the name of the proprietary name for Mercedes, Attention Assist, came out in the mid-2000s. It works. And the way it works is through systems that are already in the car. So virtually every car now drives by wire. And that means that when you hit the accelerator, or you're going to love this because you know this, your accelerator cable in like old cars is not connected to a wire that goes to your engine. It's connected to electronics that read where your pedal is.
Yes.
So the system that Mercedes came up with, because they work with all the technology partners like Bosch, Siemens, VDO, these are major technology companies in Europe. So this is the reason Mercedes has always had some of the newest technology, is because their nerdy scientists and engineers work in tandem with the technology companies of the time. They already knew that they have technology that measures how you're using the gas pedal and technology that measures where your steering wheel is at all times. And that's where your stability program comes from. All they did was tie together an algorithm that reads what you're doing with your accelerator pedal and your brake pedal, because the brake pedal also is red, and your steering. That's what Attention Assist comes from on a Mercedes. It is a very rudimentary system. It's been around for now 15 years. That system works on the same principles to detect when you're drowsy as it would if you're drunk. So the car doesn't even care if you're drunk, drowsy, on drugs. My 2008, 9, 10 C-Class had that system, and I've had it on some cars since then. I've driven it on other cars. When it's based on that software, it works. Here's what it does. It's measuring how quickly you're changing your input on the steering wheel, how much time in between driving like this to suddenly driving like this. So it's using algorithms to detect what your actions are, but it's not. Here's the other thing. BMW was talking about in around 2010 using cameras to watch your eyes, and a couple companies, I want to say maybe Subaru and Honda, were talking about also using cameras in the cluster to watch your eyes to detect whether you're paying attention. That's its own thing. The way Mercedes had it set up, it technically does work from experience to detect. For example, I had like a couple hours of sleep. I had to drive maybe an hour. I thought, hey, I can do it. Technically, I could do it, and I've done it a million times. But I didn't realize I was getting drowsy. Sure enough, the car would beep and go, beep, beep, beep. You get this coffee cup right in the instrument cluster, and it says, hey, time for a break.
Yeah.
They've had it for years. And honestly, when it came up, the first time I saw it in my own car, I thought, you know what? You're right. Did I keep driving? Yes. But the fact that the technology knew what was really going on, it didn't matter if I was drunk, on drugs, sleepy, whatever, I was impaired. So the technology already exists. I'm sure by now they've enhanced the algorithms a lot. That said, most of the self-driving features, especially from European brands, Mercedes, like I was saying, they said years ago, we're not going to turn over automation to the car from the driver. Like the technology Tesla uses came from Mercedes. And the reason Mercedes says we're not turning it on, exact quote in 2013, we don't want to relieve the driver of responsibility. The technology exists right now in the current level of automation that if the car detects you're not paying attention, it's going to apply the flashers. In some countries, they'll use turn signal. It wants you to move off the road. The technology is there on a Mercedes to move off the road. It's just whether or not they want to enable it. That said, yeah. I gave you a framework of how they implement it, because if those systems are on a Mercedes already, then they're already there and it's a no-cost thing. If we're talking about a Ford Fiesta that has no cameras built in to detect what's going on with traffic to move you out of the lane, that's expensive as hell. I think the technology already exists.
No, it does. It does. That's just, I don't know about mandating it though.
It doesn't solve a real problem of people making a stupid choice to jump in their car drunk.
So here's
exactly, that's the best point right there. It doesn't solve the real problem, and then it distracts it from it. And maybe the money's not being funded or put into that. Like, instead of spending into more features on a car, spend into more therapy or, you know, more resources to get better education. I think one of the things you mentioned, Jay, is that education level. Maybe spend more time, get more time in school. Maybe you have more money in your pocket, you can go to school more. I mean,
it's putting the burden
of a social flaw mm-hmm. on an auto manufacturer.
Exactly. That's a good way of putting it.
My thing with this whole entire like bill, that this bill exists, isn't there a damn chip shortage? Like,
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Cars will be intentionally there's a shortage of new cars, and like as a result, the price of used cars has gone up. Really quick to go backwards to what Alberto was saying. Yes, a better solution would be to educate people about why it's unsafe to drive under the influence, and you know. Imagine if they wanted to really fix this issue, if they really wanted to, you know, if they really wanted less people to do that and drive, they wanted less people to drive drunk, then they would introduce campaigns. Be creative with it. Like, and you know what? This is not the first time I've seen this story. I actually looked on Google and there was the same similar tone bill was introduced in 2019. Sponsored by MAD, Mothers Against Drunk Driving.
What's different from America than other countries is we don't live with our elders in our household, by and large. So we don't have this great source of wisdom that is there with us as we go to the store, to the mall, as we drive in the car, as we make our life choices. They're now removed. So sometimes our young people are by themselves and only influenced in choices by their young people. With that aspect removed, we have not programmed the community of young people that when they see one young person do a bad thing like drinking and driving or deciding that they should drink way too much or whatever it may be, it doesn't matter. I'm not going to get off on the different subjects, but it's not fully ingrained in our culture because we have a bystander community that we're growing out of as a culture in America. We're growing out of it slightly, but we have a bystander community. So we watch, we film people doing stupid things. We see them doing stuff where we're like, that is so dumb. We don't do anything about it.
Yeah, don't do anything about it. Yeah.
We just hit record.
So those people that care, we hit record. But the people that care about what happens to strangers, they go, we need a law. We need technology. We need this. No, it could have been stopped because there were 4 other people, 50, 100 other people. There were other humans there observing and not getting in their head and going, hey, this is not normal. Once you make it a cultural norm that what you're doing is not normal, not acceptable, not what you should do, you're going to feel out of character. But when you see that other people can walk around and drive drunk, jump off a building, do whatever they want to do, and all it is now I'm on YouTube, now I'm famous, now I'm on Instagram, now I'm on TikTok, now I get likes. And instead of, so it's a dichotomy, right? But the totally different aspect of what life is like in one hand versus the other, if you nip it in the bud, you're not applying, you're not having an organization show you what it's like to be drunk. That becomes almost irrelevant. It's a good tool, but it's not the only tool. The tool is changing society. The reason we're at where we're at is because that's easier said than done, but it takes caring and it takes trying. So if all of us, right, 90% or more of society cares about society and tries to make it better, we have our solutions. But right now we're in this state of, we're currently programmed to go, oh, well, I care strongly about abortion. I care strongly about drunk driving. I care strongly about whatever, drugs. I care strongly, but all I'm going to do is advocate for a law. I'm going to advocate for technology instead of talking to my friends and family about it and saying, why do you do this? Or maybe when I'm with my friends and family and they're doing something stupid, or just my friends or even strangers, letting strangers, let's say you're walking through a subway station and you see a stranger doing something obviously dumb, like standing on the tracks, 50, 100 people standing there on the watching this guy lay down on the tracks and a train's coming, I can guarantee you in every other scenario, all these people are going to watch this person get run over, because nobody jumps outside their body and says, this is not the world I want to live in. Once it becomes the normal that we're all no longer bystanders and we start solving the problems, we're not talking about, oh, we need to spend $8 million to make this subway station where the doors only let you in at a certain time. We didn't need this. We just need to look out for each other. That is half the battle. So it's literally, it starts here. It doesn't start with the law. It doesn't start with an organization. It starts here. And so we have to work on each other. I'm sorry, like, I know that was a long answer, but it's like, it's a systematic thing.
That was very well put, Jay. Thank you very much.
I agree with what you said.
There's one last story here that I wanted to cover. Do you guys have time? You guys good?
I have time.
Okay. Yay. The duel. I have time. Awesome. So, going back to where we're talking about the chip shortage, right? There's a chip shortage coming from China that emanated from the COVID-19 pandemic, which slowed production, which, you know, raised demand for computing anyway, which there's a lot of factors, right? Mm-hmm. And the chip shortage isn't expected to really level out until maybe like late next year. So as a result, electronics, anything with electronics in it, have become more expensive because components are more expensive. And new cars are in high demand and their supply is low. Like there's a shortage of new cars, mm-hmm. which means that rental cars have actually been in high, like, no, I'm sorry, not rental cars. Which means used cars have been in high demand. So as a result of this, when, you know, in 2020 summer, when nobody was renting cars, nobody was traveling, what did Enterprise Budget Dollar Fox do? They had to sell their inventory of cars so they could stay alive. And now that everyone's trying to travel because the United States has been widely vaccinated, at least, there's a shortage of rental cars.
This morning, rental car companies are facing shortages nationwide, just as many people are gearing up for summer travel.
Americans are increasingly looking to travel to beaches, national parks, and much more remote locations this summer, locations where an Uber or a Lyft may not always be available.
The shortage fueled in part by decisions made last year when business plummeted at the start of the pandemic. Many cash-strapped rental companies sold off much of their inventories and paused new purchases. Now demand is returning at the same time automakers are struggling to produce new vehicles due to supply chain issues.
It takes time for these car rental companies to build their supply of cars, given the challenges the automotive industry is under right now.
The most expensive rental car cities in the country right now, Bozeman, Montana, Charleston, South Carolina, and Kahului, Hawaii, all seeing huge price jumps compared to 2019. The shortage and price increases even leading some tourists visiting Hawaii to turn to renting U-Hauls instead.
Sometimes the only option you have left is going to be a box truck.
Well, they don't have any box trucks today because I wanted to rent one. So I guess they're all out with tourists.
So how can you avoid a moment like this on your next trip? Sports guy Brian Kelly says if a rental car is key to your trip, first, plan around that.
consumers must change their mentality around rental cars. You know, for so long they've been an afterthought, but now they can be more than the cost of your flight per day rental.
Other tips to get you behind the wheel: join the rental company's loyalty program. Check
blah blah blah
off airport facilities and consider booking directly with the company versus through an online travel agency.
The car rental apocalypse, as we're calling it, shows no signs of abating, especially as we get into summer travel. And book in advance and be as savvy as possible.
Yeah, so yeah, there's a freaking, there's a national, well, so this story came out in April. This is the beginning of when everyone started traveling, like after Easter season, right? So even,
last I checked, it still applies though.
Even now, yeah, like the rental industry is very,
I have some hands-on with this recently.
Okay, yes, please, go ahead.
No, there's definitely a shortage. And then the guy pointed out the same things, like, book directly, get the loyalty program, go straight to the airport. I mean, that's what's, you know, but there's still a shortage. Like most of the times when I go off-site and I'm going to Denver in 2 weeks and I already booked everything directly, but I try to get a Hyundai because I work for Hyundai and I'm going to do training on a Hyundai. So, and if I don't, I have to get something close to whatever I'm training on, like the competitive, but there's barely any Hyundais because Hyundai is putting, they're not selling to third parties right now, like Enterprise or not. There's barely any Hyundai specifically for that's what they chose to do to get more new cars in the market right now because of the chip shortage. There is definitely, I'm sure Jay has seen this personally with Mercedes, but there's definitely a limitation of inventory, and every manufacturer is handling it in a different way. Yeah, I could go on that, but I'm not.
Jay, any thoughts?
Side thought, Mercedes is a really weird, that's my choice of words, it's not accurate, but weird company when it comes to automotive trends. As far as chip shortage, let's narrow it down. Chip shortage is weird because what people, you just assume every Mercedes is from the factory in Germany. Factories are everywhere. The parts come from everywhere. There are revisions to parts. Berto, you're going to know that from Audi. Mm-hmm. There are revisions to parts, car by car. You can have 8 different versions of a stereo that look identical.
Mm-hmm.
They also, thank God, they also stock a lot of parts. The one thing that I've seen as far as Mercedes being affected by chip shortage, certain models are literally on a trickle. Very few of them roll out. Very few. That said, some of them, even though you'd expect them to not have them, they're still showing up, and you're like, where do they keep coming from? I thought there's a chip shortage. Mercedes has new cars. They're still selling cars all the time. Overall, the shortage of vehicles affected as a company, Mercedes, summer of last year. There's still new cars coming in right now. We thought it was good. It's so weird. It's like these waves where we think we're going to run out of stuff. We kind of do, but we don't. That said, I think what's really weird is something that I saw Mercedes just started adopting that Chrysler did. And I think GM and a lot of other companies is a credit program on the minority sticker. So we're talking standard features. There's on luxury cars, there's different screen sizes. Many manufacturers, you have a standard radio, you have a bigger radio, you have touch screen, you have non-touch screen. Packages will have them in certain ways. First time I've ever seen it ever, because I follow a Mercedes a lot. First time I've ever seen it, a Mercedes landed on the floor, had a premium package, which is supposed to include larger screens. The car came without it. And specifically on the Monroney, you're getting a credit because Mercedes figured it's better to put a car on the ground for someone to buy than to have nothing come out.
Yeah. Wow. Any safety features they're getting rid of? Technologies besides radios and stuff like that? Or it's just like simple it's stuff Mercedes. Like that?
No. Yeah. It's technology and gadgets. So the big thing on Mercedes is how big your touch, because everything's touchscreen as of 2019.
Yeah.
So whether you have the little screen, it depending on car, whether you have little one or bigger one, but it's things like that. Also, maybe it's availability of maybe self-driving features.
Yeah.
How often they're gonna make that allowable? Some of the high end stuff they'll put on the shelf.
They are limiting some of those high tech self-driving features on some of them, because Hyundai is kind of doing similar, but they're only letting it affect one car right now and on a low trim. So they have one model. I'm not going to speak specifically because I work for them. one model.
And it can change anyway, yeah.
Yeah, the two lowest trims don't have certain technology features. And yes, it's also adjusting the Maroni. So I wouldn't call it a credit. It'll just be less money you pay for the vehicle. But so, yeah. Every manufacturer is dealing with it in a certain way. I was kind of curious how I think about Mercedes doing it.
What's crazy is all of this, we're talking about rental cars, right?
Yeah.
We're talking about how that affects rental prices and how they got there, which was last year, manufacturers had to shut down. There was nobody renting a car because nobody's going anywhere at all. Globally, everything was shut down for 3 to 9 months, however long, on and off. The demand stopped existing, so people out of a job. So what's interesting to me is we see these companies going into massive debt, and they thought, was it Hertz? They thought Hertz was going to basically stop existing.
Yeah, I thought so too during the pandemic. Now, after this article, I realized how they stayed alive.
And now here's the crazy thing about that. As a strategy, you're seeing typically rental cars are in inventory a year or less, typically just a couple months, but a year or less. And there's a cap that they're trying to keep them under, maybe 20,000 miles or whatever. It wouldn't surprise me to see them logically have to retain these cars much, much longer because there's not a back supply. There's not a backfill of new cars to replace them.
Sure.
There's nothing on deck, right? So what nobody's looking at right now, and this is amazing, what nobody's looking at is not just that the inventory of all cars across all brands starting to come back online about a year from now. Nobody, and how that affects used car prices and what that's going to do to the used car inventory. But they're also forgetting that once that starts coming back online, you better believe that by and large, if you can decontent rental cars, because you can, you don't have to give a rental car everything. So if, let's say GM wants to boost up their numbers. Hey, I'm going to talk to Hertz, Avis, whoever, and say, hey, I'm going to decontent your rental cars in ways that customers might not prefer. But guess what? Now you have 5,000 more cars that you can get on the road. Doesn't that sound good? So now you're going to have all these decontented rental cars hitting the market. And as they start going through their turnover, because they're going to start turning over quickly as they get backfilled. But even so, everything that's leaving inventory has way more miles and is going to start end abuse. Not only is that going to add to the existing inventory that's getting pushed down, but the quality of cars is going to drive down the market. So it puts people also in a weird place at that point, because right now I've been looking at Grand Cherokees, for example. Anything you look at, the prices have gone up 20% roughly. A lot of, some of them are 25, 35, but generically you can say 20% inflation on anything used. This time next year, it will be evened out. 6 months later, they're going to have the rubber band effect and they're going to come back. So for somebody that's in a car and they're trying to get out of their car in a year and a half, 2 years from now, they're going to carry so much debt and negative equity, they're going to be in a really weird place. So what nobody's talking about is, for a consumer, when do you want to, it's like pick your poison. Do you want to spend a lot, get a new car now, because there's not many? Do you want to spend a lot on a used car, or do you want your used car price to depreciate wildly? Like, where's your sweet spot?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's the thing that nobody's talking about.
I've seen what he said too about like rental cars having a lot of miles and longer. The guy who trained me already seen this. I guess it's not often you see a used car, a rental car with 40,000 miles, and you're beginning to see it, you know, or a little bit over a year old. So yeah, well, I guess we'll wait to see once it evens out. But yeah, I'm kind of curious. I'll let you guys know later on when I go on a trip on Denver here in a couple of weeks, and then I'm going to New Mexico the week after.
So what if you got to Denver and they give you a U-Haul truck?
Well, National wouldn't do that, but
they'd be like, are they going to pay for Turo?
We'll find out. Huh?
Will they pay for Turo?
I don't know. I mean, it hasn't gotten to that point yet. Like,
I'll bet you can find Hyundais on Turo.
Look at what that article said, like where the limitations are. It's only like two states stateside in Hawaii. Yeah. Like, it's a great article, but you're referencing two cities that
nobody goes to.
I guess it's currently a hot spot. You know, I mean, yeah. No, why? Why is not LA having an issue? Denver, Las Vegas, Phoenix, Miami. Why they didn't mention all those?
Because it's the news. They don't have to mention it. Yeah.
I don't get it. I'll let you know. I've already traveled to, I was in San Ramon a couple weeks ago. I got a rental, no problem.
All right, guys. So let's go with closing remarks. So this is I have a question actually, but I'm gonna give you guys a time limit.
So okay, cool.
I'm gonna give you guys,
I can't do that.
10 seconds.
Yeah, well, you're gonna have to.
I can't do that.
You're gonna have to. So I'm gonna give you 30 seconds to tell me, okay, where do you see cars 5 years from now?
Go ahead, Jay. You start. 30 seconds.
Alberto, you go first because Jay's still collecting his thoughts.
Okay, hold on.
So let me set a timer. Hang on. Where do you see cars 5 years from now? So just give me a general synopsis.
Okay, count down first so I could get ready here.
Why can't I find my clock app?
here, I got it. It's fine. This is so simple. The same. It's the same. Just the ratio. It's just a ratio.
Okay.
We're still gonna have gas cars, just in different ways.
Go. Oh wait, I put 39 minutes. 39 minutes. Whoops.
All right, let's do it. No. It's just ratio. We're gonna have a few more electric cars.
Yeah, go ahead.
We're gonna have a handful of hybrid and that's it.
More electric cars and some hybrids?
No, I meant to say hydrogen.
Oh, hydrogen.
Hydrogen?
Interesting.
Very few.
Okay.
Toyota really wants to do it.
You think hydrogen is still on the table? The technology's there, but what the downside right now that I've been noticing is the infrastructure for transporting and delivering hydrogen in liquid form.
And there's no incentive to making that happen quickly, which is why Toyota's going to push for it, but what it turns into is minimal. So you're going to get like 3% more penetration on hydrogen, and it's going to be what LA, New York City, anywhere that has hydrogen anyway. Otherwise, it's not going to be New Mexico.
Okay.
Otherwise, electric, hybrids, and gas.
Okay.
5 years.
Okay, yeah, Berto.
I agree with Jay. Electric EVs for sure. Hybrids. More efficient gas, hopefully. But other than that, no major changes. I mean, a lot of stuff's going to EV for the most part. And I'm excited for it.
So I've actually seen last year when I was doing research for this podcast, actually, I saw Nissan's engine, like it's a hybrid engine, but it's electrically driven. So it has its own generator, kind of like the Volt was. Like it has its own power source.
Yeah.
And then it has its own power source and its own gas tank that can generate the power source and electrically drive the car.
You're saying an EV, that's called the EV with a generator.
Exactly. So
it's still an electric vehicle.
It's still electric vehicle, yeah, yes.
I3 is like that as well. Oh, BMW i3.
Oh, it is. Do you think this is in the future of 5 years
Mazda's
as well?
Doing it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Mazda's doing it. A lot of manufacturers are going that route as well. Mazda, I'm kind of curious. That's going to be impressive.
Yeah.
Because they're doing a rotary generator, which is probably the most efficient.
Wow.
Even everyday generators that we use are the best, most efficient ones are rotaries.
Wow.
I think so. I mean, it's a great concept, great idea. You know, we'll see how it rolls. It depends if they could test and make it better.
That's so interesting is that like the standard combustion engine, which was invented like in the late 1800s, right? Or the early 1900s? When was it invented? You guys got to know this.
It evolved from steam engines, so it's a gray area thing. So like
okay.
internal combustion. That's the
internal combustion engine. Internal combustion engine. The internal combustion engine, as we know it, is on its way out because by now we've learned that they're, you know, not as efficient
for transportation.
They're less for transportation. Yes.
I don't think it's in its way out.
You don't think that it's at least like looking like it's going that direction?
No. I mean you said it right there. You need a gas generator to supply energy for electric vehicles.
But what I'm referring to is an internal combustion engine that drives mechanically, not that powers another source.
Okay, even that.
Okay.
Hybrids.
Yes.
Are the electric motor is efficient on, you know, from a stop and at low speeds. the engine is most efficient at highway speeds.
Yes.
Look at ask you know, electric EV owners, Tesla owners. They're not, you don't see Tesla owners wanting to drive highways. They're not that efficient.
Yeah.
The internal combustion engine is still most efficient, a great efficient, you know, product of engineering, I would say.
Here's the thing, though. Beyond that, the whole reason, globally, the whole incentive to the whole motivation to getting away from internal combustion for personal transportation, let alone aviation, the whole drive behind it is CO2 and emissions. Mm-hmm. So even with that drive, even with that increasing year by year, I think you're going to be with me, Alberto, as far as how commonplace it will be to see a vehicle driving under fossil fuel power, it's still going to be a norm overall. And I think realistically, where we're at with electric versus gasoline, the ratio, I think it's going to be 30 years. I don't know why, but I think ballpark 30 years before that is on the other end.
Wow.
And then yeah, for it to taper out.
I agree.
I don't think it'll taper out for 100 years.
The whole hybrid thing is just helping us get there, right? Like what you're saying. We can't get away with it. Yeah, I totally agree.
Technology isn't there.
It's not. 30 years maybe before it flips. I kind of like that number.
Before the ratio.
Because
even then, look at it. Think about developing countries. Don't get me wrong. They're still going to buy used batteries from Priuses and slap them in Priuses. And they're going to be, they're going to be industrious. They're going to find ways to make it work. Just like cell phones have a second life in Africa and other places. Technology always gets a second life elsewhere. That said, internal combustion, if you already own a forklift, a tractor, a 20-year-old truck, and you're in a developed country, you're not going to go out of your way to find an electric truck. You're not going to. Afghanistan, Taliban country, why are they going to go try to, well, we worry about the planet. No, they're not going to. So even when we get past that 30-year flip, we're going to have at least 50, 60 cents. We're going to need that technology to rust and rot, but it's not going to stop running. Fossil fuel will always be available anyway. It just will until our kids are in the ground. It's going to be there. Next time, here's your closing question. What is the unforeseen technology in cars that's just around the corner 10 years from now? That's homework for next time.
One more time?
The unforeseen technology. So the question will be after
homework next time, yeah. What's the next disruptor in cars?
Disruptor?
I like that.
Okay, so we'll make that a comment or question. What's the next disruptor?
It's gonna sneak up on you.
Hydrogen.
Potato driven engines.
There you go. Water.
We're running on vodka.
The French think it's pneumatic. That's expensive. They think it's air power.
Ooh, I like that. I like that concept.
Interesting. All right, well, we got to close this episode out. Thank you guys so much for your opinions, thoughts, discussions, questions, and all of the above. Thank you guys so much. That was awesome.
It gets better.
Awesome.
It's going to get better, yes.
We should reconvene like 10 podcasts from now.
Yeah, no, we will. Because this topic of tech and cars is not going to go away. This is going to be a recycling topic on this podcast.
Mm-hmm. Let me do your plug. What's your channel called?
So my channel is called How Tech Podcast.
How Tech Podcast.
So I have to start putting up content, making clips, putting up stuff like that. And
yeah, but by the time it's live. Like and subscribe. Thanks for coming.
Thank you, Jay. Thank you, guys.